Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer.
Now, here's a six-pack of questions.
All right, Professor, how worried should I be about Rashad Penny in his hand?
I think he's going to be okay. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer did say that it didn't seem to be too bad. And, even if it's a break at some point, it heals. But I get the feeling it's probably more of a bruise than anything else. But do I know for sure? No, I don't.
You expect to see him this weekend? And also, yes. I'll ask the same question, C.J. Procise.
Yeah, I have no confidence in C.J. Procise. I mean, he's got the hip injury, didn't practice yesterday. We'll see if the day off does him any good. I mean, I would have more faith that Rashad Penny would be there than Procise. And, you know, it's hard to – I mean, you can see the frustration. I mean, it's like he's missed so many games, and just here it is. He goes OTAs, mini camp, every practice, and then boom, can't make it to the game.
Same question, Jamarco Jones and Isaiah Battle, right tackle. What's the latest on that right tackle position? Because, man, Fetty's still up in the air.
Yeah, no, I think that they're now putting so many resources into trying to fix it, things are starting to break. Sounds like it's a real bad high ankle sprain on Jamarco Jones, so he's certainly going to be out into the start of the season, and my guess is there's a chance that they'll probably put him on the IR, knowing that there's a possibility if they need to, they can pull him off it. You know, it may do the designation on him. Looks like it's just going to be a couple weeks on Isaiah Battle. They kind of dodged the bullet on that one. So now what it comes down to is that it looks like Reese Odhiambo is going to kind of get in the mix for the right tackle battle. Willie Beavers is going to be there. And so it's one where it's like, stay tuned. Lots going on.
How do you think the Seahawks feel about their backup quarterbacks right now?
I think they're shaky. I think they have a little bit more confidence in Austin Davis. I think they feel a little bit better with the play of Alex Magoo. He did some good things in the game on Thursday, but there's so many things that it looks like he has to catch up on. So I think that they'd love to be able to slide him through waivers and get him on the practice squad. And, if there is an upgrade for Davis, maybe they'll do it. But I think there's a comfort level. I mean, they made it through the season last year with him. I think that they feel that, the great luxury of having a great top five, top six quarterback is that for the most part, they usually are going to be there. They usually don't give an opportunity for the backup to be in there. But I think that, they looked at Josh Johnson. So if they looked at Josh Johnson, you have to figure they're still kind of thinking, okay, are we okay on this?
John, we got three third round picks from recent drafts that I think are not necessarily in danger of not making the team, but we're waiting to see how they pan out. Nick Vinette, the tight end, he's entering his third year, third round pick out of Ohio State. It seems like he's performing pretty well. Two other guys, Amara Darbo and Reese Odhiambo, do you think they're certain of making the 53-man roster?
No, I don't think so. I think that competition is really getting good, because David Moore has done such good things at the wide receiver position. I mean, you can see Brandon Marshall getting more confidence each day and really looking like he's going to be a great fit in this offense. I mean, made a one-handed catch the other day, makes touchdown catches like crazy. And then, Marcus Johnson seems to be doing some intriguing things. And so if I'm Darbo, if I'm Reese Odhiambo, if I'm any of these third round picks, I'm not. You better pick it up because they're at some of the most competitive positions on the team, and there's no guarantees of anything. I mean, that's the idea. It's like it's a battle, and so they've got to make sure that they're facing this battle.
Well, one of those guys, Nick Vinette, I feel like he's jumped up and grabbed it, and he's at least on his way.
Yeah.
I mean, look, not just because he had the catch, he had two catches the other day in the game, one for a touchdown. The other one was just, I think he kind of got pushed off his spot a little bit, and Russell, threw it to that spot. It was just a good defensive play, but I think it's a work in progress, mm-hmm. but it feels to me like he's a guy who they really wanted and had pressure on for him to step up, and I think he's made them happy.
Yeah, I think so. And, particularly with Ed Dixon, Ed Dixon being still hurt. Man. I mean, that has been, I think, a disappointment because, I mean, they were really counting on him. But I think they feel good because, I mean, Vinette is a good blocker. I mean, sometimes in practice he doesn't catch the ball as well as I like. But, I mean, he certainly did well the other night. And I think that they really like Will Dissly. Now, again, I think what this you're seeing is that, repeats of 2011, 2012, the early days of the Seahawks, where all of a sudden, things can go discombobulated. related injury happened here or there, and all of a sudden a young guy steps up like a Richard Sherman, and all of a sudden they never look back. I think, you know, you can see that this draft class has some options there that if something bad happens, you know, even though you don't want to rush anybody, some guys might be able to fill in the void.
John, did you know that Will Dissly, number one, he can sing. We found out he sang the Cougar, or I'm sorry, the Husky fight song with who? Do you think he sang the Husky fight song with?
Probably it would be Danny. I know it wouldn't be Jim.
No, it was Jim. Can you believe
You're
that?
You're kidding me.
Jim was a Husky fan when he was a young lad.
Mm-hmm. And before knew he was all corrupted. The words.
Back in the Sunny Six Killer days, John.
There you go.
Here you go. You want to hear a little sample, John?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Bow down to Washington. Bow down to Washington.
Dun, 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 dun.
Mighty are the men who wear the purple and the gold.
Joyfully we welcome them within the victor's fold.
We will carve your names in the Hall of Fame, hey, to preserve the memory of our devotion. So heaven help the foes of Washington. They're trembling at the feet of mighty Washington. Our boys are there with bells. Our fighting blood excels. It's harder to push them over the line than past the Dardanelles. That's the victory, the cry of Washington. Let their lungs together with a rah, rah, rah. And o'er the land, our loyal band will sing the glory of Washington forever.
Here's the thing that I like most about that, other than the fact that Jim is singing the UW fight song.
Right.
Which is that, like, Will Dissly's got a lot of confidence. Like,
yeah,
he just kind of lays it out there. It's like, here, he's not trying to be cool. He's not trying. He's like, yeah, I'll sing the song. I love the song. It was awesome.
So,
yeah.
But also, don't you get the feeling, I mean, and I don't know if the Seahawks do this or not. I mean, certainly it was a staple of 32 teams or 31 teams before Houston came in. It's like, if you're a rookie, you're going to be singing at some point.
Yeah, you know what? I actually avoided that. I came the year after Chuck Knox. I guess there was some hazing going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and something happened with a fire extinguisher in one of the rookies' rooms. And Chuck called a meeting in the middle of the night, and Paul Moyer described it to me. He was irate, and he was, Chuck Knox lost it, and he was screaming and yelling, and even at some of the, like, the leaders, like Jacob Green. And so after that, I think it was the next year I came, no singing, did not have to sing.
There's horrible stories about some of the hazing. It was a tight end from here, Cam Cleland.
Yeah, in New Orleans?
New Orleans. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting really seriously injured. They hit him with a sock full of quarters.
Right.
Like, I think it,
and he got hurt.
Yeah, hit him in the eye. It was absolutely unbelievable. They had him run down the hallway at the dorm room, and people would hit him with stuff, and somebody hit him with a sock full of quarters.
Really dumb.
Professor, really dumb. Do you know the Duquesne fight song?
I don't.
You know, I don't really know the Stanford fight song.
I would like to see Dave sing the Stanford fight song accompanied by the Stanford band.
Would you you think that would happen, huh, Danny?
Yeah. They have a fight song. I think that's one of the bigger questions.
Well, the thing they always play is All Right Now, that song by Free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think that's the official fight song. Anyway, going across the country, John, what's the word? I'm curious about Josh Allen, who the kid from Wyoming, quarterback now for the Buffalo Bills. I saw Peterman playing a little bit, the kid who threw, what, four interceptions in the first half after they benched Tyrod Taylor or something like that. But what's the word on Josh Allen?
Not ready for prime time.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the quarterbacks, he was the one who was going to take the longest to try to get out there because, you know, he is so raw in what he does. And so they're not going to rush him whatsoever. So there's no anticipation of him doing anything this year. If he does, it's a surprise to just about everybody.
So starter, do they also have A.J. McCarron there? Is that right?
A.J. McCarron. Karen right now is the leading candidate to be the starter.
Okay.
It's like I'm still kind of wondering. It's like they have this infatuation with Kevin Peterman that you know, they put him in last year and he stunk. He had one. He was terrible in that one game. So that, but it just seems like the coaching staff has some belief in him that maybe he can turn the corner. But I think I don't know if it's wise right now.
Yeah, I like that when they started Peterman. Didn't he have four picks in the first half?
Yeah.
It was like a Johnny Manziel-like performance.
Really bad.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, and that was after they benched Tyrod Taylor for God knows why. But that was well, maybe they just have a fascination. And you know that happens in the NFL. You see coaches where they're wrong, you know, and they don't see, like, they don't have the sort of vision to see, like, let's step back from this a little bit. You fall in love with a guy and you really want him to play, but you know that happens, I think, in the NFL more than people think.
Yeah, no question. And but that's the thing. I mean, it's you kill yourself if you make a bad decision on a quarterback. I mean, that's one thing that you've really got to watch.
Yep.
Professor Lakes High School graduate Zach Banner, his fourth team in 2 years. The Steelers signed him. What's his future look like?
Not too good. I guess he's got the right team because they've got a couple injuries on the offensive line. I mean, he's a big-bodied guy, but for whatever reason, I mean, what? He was the highest draft choice cut last year at training camp, right at the end of training camp and right for the start of the season, a third-round pick. And, you know, they asked Chris Ballard about it, and he just basically said, well, he wasn't good enough to make the team. And for a team that had a bad offensive line like that. So I don't know if there's great hopes right now. The one thing that I think can give him hope is he gets together with a great, and I mean a great, offensive line coach in Mike Munchak. And so maybe that can help turn things around for him.
What's the latest with Cole Madison, John? The Green Bay Packers issuing a statement yesterday that he's working through some personal issues that he won't report anytime soon. Fifth-round pick, Kennedy High School, Washington State. I mean, can you just cut someone like that, or what do you think is going to happen here?
No, it seems like they're supporting him, and whatever is going through with his life, and we don't know what it is, and there's no tipping off to what it is. But it's something that they're saying it's okay. We're going to support him. I mean, he's on the did not report list. They have no aspirations that he's going to be here anytime soon in Green Bay. So kind of tough to see. I mean, he's a fifth round pick, and you know, he's a really good football player, but something's going on in his life right now. Now that we don't know if it's a health thing, we don't know if it's a family thing, whatever it is, he's got the support of the team, but right now nobody has an idea when he's going
to
be there.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, it's tough enough to make it in the NFL as a rookie. Hey, just real quick, I just saw on Shannon Dreyer's Twitter line, Cano just met with the media in Oakland. As he spoke, teammates filled up the back of the room. Cruz, Segura, Healy, Maben, and
nice.
More. Yeah, getting some support from his teammates there.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, I think that, and he's so important for this team. I mean, you know, you can see his hitting. They need him to get out there and get some hits and get the runs. And it comes at a time where big two games coming up against Oakland. So in the next 24 hours, particularly with an afternoon game tomorrow, we'll see how Cano can fit back in. It'll be interesting to see how the crowd's going to be with him, too.
Yeah, I will be interested to see that, all five of them, like whether or not the A's fans that are there, because it's not an overwhelming crowd that is present for those games. Let's see if they can bounce back. I was surprised to see him hitting second. Did Ben get hurt today, John?
Yes, he did.
What happened to him?
It just seemed that...
How's a quarterback get a concussion in practice?
It's hard, but somebody just kind of fell into him, and so then he went to the ground, and I guess he hit his head on the ground, and so he's in concussion protocol. I mean, you saw Greg Williams get into it, or actually it was not Greg Williams, Todd Haley get into it with Greg Williams when somebody hit Baker Mayfield, and as you said, a good team doesn't get their quarterback hit like that. You don't get to hit like that in practice. Winning teams don't do that. That's what Todd Haley said, but something accidental happened, and it's like, Ben sometimes can dramatize things, but it was something that apparently this one was serious enough that they did put him in concussion protocol, so we'll see how long he's going to be out. It comes at a bad time, too, because, I mean, he's having literally his best training camp.
But speaking of fights, John, what's this thing going on down in Miami? Gabe Wright, what'd they do? They kicked him out of practice or something?
No, they cut him.
They
cut him.
Kenyon Drake is the running back, and so it must have been a bad cheap shot?
It was
or what?
Cheap shot, and he did it when Kenyon Drake didn't have a helmet on.
You're kidding me.
No.
So was it some kind of a off-the-field type of argument? He punched him or something? Or?
No, I mean, Kenyon Drake was just a guy there without a helmet, and I guess, he was, and Gabe just took a run at him for some reason. No idea why, because Kenyon's becoming, the starting running back on that team, and so that's kind of in a big mystery why that all happened, but it was pretty ugly.
Oh, man, he's on the street.
Yeah.
Wow.
He got cut. I mean, hey, what we're seeing, it's like, I was talking about this on a station down in San Diego, and it's like, I don't think I've ever seen camps get like this to a point where it's like now a fight can be a suspending or a release type of event. I mean, they had the big fight yesterday with the Jets, and Todd Bowles, blew up because it was a scrimmage between the Jets and Washington, and apparently it carried over to where the fans were, and it became a little bit of an ugly scene. And Jay Gruden immediately after practice says, if I see anybody in a fight, I'm going to suspend them.
Wow.
Professor, and you saw that what happened in Miami, Gabe Wright. He took the right shot and got the wrong result.
Yeah, I wonder though. A lot of it has to do with the crowd being there, because that was a kind of a tough season or a scene last year with Frank Clark and Effetti, because there was a lot of fans there, and that was kind of upsetting to them. And I think that You know, wasn't this an open practice? Were these fights between the Jets and Redskins?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there was fans there. That all of a sudden makes it a lot more serious. It used to be you're out in the middle of Cheney and a couple guys get in a fight and you just, you know, spray them with a garden hose. You know, and that's, to me, that was a one of the things that our offensive coordinator in Denver said, geez, look at these two guys. They're fighting, rolling around on the ground. Somebody should squirt them with a garden hose. But it used to be nobody else really knew about it, and it got broken up. But now that you see it sort of spilling into the stands, and it's become a little more serious.
No, it's something you got to watch, and apparently everybody's on watch right now. We'll see, and particularly with this being the week where there's so many teams having dual practices. I mean, you saw the results down in Jacksonville. Jalen Ramsey got into it with one of the photographers and, you know, got some nasty words out there, and so he gets suspended, and then you got, you know, Dante Fowler, he got suspended. So coaches are, I mean, again, I've never seen it like this. I mean, you know, I know that everybody's trying to protect against injuries and not have unnecessary injuries, but I mean, they're really over-dramatizing it.
It really seems to me like those two Jacksonville players were behaving like idiots.
Yeah.
They got suspended for a week. Dante Fowler, getting in a fight with teammates isn't uncommon. Getting in a fight with guys that play your same position, that is weird at a practice. And then Jalen Ramsey threatening reporters who are within their rights to be taking pictures of the fight. Sounds like it's a pretty big, like that's that. I don't know what exactly they're doing now. It sounds like they earned their week off.
Well, the one thing I'll say is that fights within position groups was common as far as I know.
No kidding.
Yeah. There would be one time, I remember one time Brian Millard, and there was a guard who was kind of dumb and would miss his assignments, and he pulled into him. So, like, it's a pulling guard, and he almost, you know, broke his neck. Because, you know, it's like, you dummy, it's going the other way. And they got in a fight. There was a fist fight between two D linemen in Denver. Because you're around them all the time and you just get tired and one guy's mouthy and stuff like that. And then you end up, you know, there ends up being a fight.
Do you ever have like a code red kind of situation where they're like, we've got to go straighten this idiot out and like he needs to be walloped on?
No, no.
You're gosh darn right, I ordered the code red.
I don't think that's happened. By the way, the offensive coordinator I was thinking of was Jim Fossil.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jim and his wife, Kitty. Kitty Fossil.
He got his son, Bones, right? He's a special teams coach with the Rams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Good coach.
Yep.
John, how are things going with Josh Rosen in Arizona?
Not as good as you would hope. I mean, he didn't really put up a good performance the other night. It looked really spotty in the way that he threw the ball. So what started out at camp to be looking pretty good is a little bit shaky right now.
And how about Sam Darnold in New York?
Sam looked great the other night. I mean, maybe he was a little bit too promoting of himself, but no, I think that he's on path to maybe challenge for that starting job.
Wait,
he really has a chance.
How was he promoting himself? What was he doing?
Basically, I mean, he was talking about how good he thought he was, and he got a little bit too boastful in the way that he was expressing it.
You know what that is, John? There's a scientific term for that. It's called too big for your britches.
Mm-hmm. It's a condition that can be diagnosed here when you kind of get the sense for it, and you're like, it looks like he might be too big for his britches. Yep, too big for his britches. Who else? Donald Penn activated off a PUP? I didn't realize he was on PUP.
Oh, yeah. He had a Liz Frank injury, and so it was taking him time. And so what he did, he took a pay reduction, and now he's coming over, and they're moving him over to right tackle from left tackle. You know, Colton Miller is given the chance right now, the rookie, to try to be the left tackle, and so they got Penn over on the right side.
Somebody,
which Breno Giacomini's probably not happy about that.
I heard somebody call it the Anne Frank injury the other day.
The Anne Frank
somewhere.
Injury?
Yeah. It's Liz Frank, right, John?
Liz Frank.
You know what they used to do with
the ballerina thing?
They did. You know
what
they used
to do?
Yeah, just hack your foot off.
Yeah, because remember, I mean, this is, Liz Frank was the doctor for Napoleon.
That's correct.
Right.
And what happened was that if you were in on the horse and you fell off your horse and your foot got caught in the stirrup, that you would usually do damage to the middle of your, the middle of your leg and your ankle. And so what they would do, and with your foot, and so what they would do, they would cut it off right at one joint, and it was called the Liz Frank joint.
For a while, I thought it was because Kathy Bates' character in Misery was named Liz Frank. And that, so a guy that suffered a Liz Frank injury had been incapacitated in a bed with
hobbled.
A sledgehammer.
That's what they called it, hobbled.
It was
they hobbled
there.
Him.
And then somebody told me, no, her name wasn't Liz Frank. And I was like, oh, well, what in the world could that be? But now I know. It was Napoleon's doctor.
I'll tell you what, I had that injury. It kept me
you
out of the
You got hit in the ankle by a sledgehammer?
Not that one. I was
you
not
fell
hobbled.
Off a horse?
No, I went to... you know what it was? I did not fall off a horse, John. Good one, though. I fell off the horse, but there was no stirrups, so I don't know how it happened.
You were riding bareback.
No, it was tackling Christian Okoye on the, or maybe it was Barry Word on the goal line. And then, you know, I went back out on the and field, and my foot was felt kind of weird. And then I came out of a break and a pass, and my foot just like flopped upwards. Ugh. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that seems nasty.
It's a bad injury.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
I still remember, because the trainer from the Eagles was the one who taught me all this about the Liz Frank, and mm-hmm. I got to the point where I would watch tape and almost be like Dr. David Chow down in San Diego, because I remember I did this with Terrell Davis. I watched him as, oh, that's a Liz Frank. And so I called the agent and I said, so what's it look like, a Liz Frank? Oh, no, it's not. Like, and then 5 months later, they admitted to me, yeah, it was a Liz Frank.
John Clayton, the Liz Frank injury specialist.
There we go.
There we go.
Professor, we appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
See you, John.
All right. If you missed any of the Cold Hard Facts brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, you can download the podcast, 710sports.com. Robinson Cano has talked to reporters. We also hear from Scott Service. Shannon Dreyer joins us next.
Danny, Dave, and more. Streaming on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
So happy hours brought to you by Heritage Distilling VSB. They're brown sugar bourbon, and we got on the Venue Kings hotline right now our Mariners insider, Shannon Dreyer. Shannon, how are you?
Not bad. Not a bad day in Oakland right now. Blue skies. They're playing baseball, getting ready for game two.
Shannon, before we start, can we just? I just want to get this out of the way. One of the favorite things that I've ever heard you say was yesterday when you were asked why did you block Jim, and your answer was, "I had had enough." I, you know what? I'm going to write that down. I really like that quote, and I thought it was very appropriate for the situation.
Well, it was very, very therapeutic. It was, I had had enough, and because I could. It was as easy as hitting block, and I did.
Sounds like she kind of enjoyed it, Jim.
I've never blocked anyone on Twitter, Shannon, and I'm a little, my feelings are hurt because you don't follow me anymore on Twitter.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
Jim,
about
she'd had enough.
She had enough. You're going to keep getting more pain. Shannon, the sewer is functioning in Oakland, as far as we know. Okay. Nothing's backed up.
Yeah, we keep a wary eye and nose alert for that, but so far everything's okay with that. And, you know, why wouldn't it be? They're only drawing about 10,000 fans a night, so it hasn't exactly been packed.
Yeah, it is. It is a bummer to see that. Robinson Cano, back in the lineup. He's hitting second, which was a bit of a surprise. He's playing first, which is obviously different. What have you seen and heard from Robbie so far today?
Well, it was great to see him, first of all, come on the bus today. We haven't seen that in about 80 days. And he was all smiles, high-fived everybody up and down the entire line, and everybody was on the bus heading over to Oakland. So it was a neat scene to see, and, you know, just a different kind of energy. He's ready to go. He's got fresh legs right now. He doesn't have 80 games under his belt and doesn't have all the dings and dents that everybody else has. So it was a burst of energy. It was good to see the teammates respond to him the way they did. And they've seen quite a bit of him. He hasn't been around for the last month because he went to the Dominican. But he was there early, and he was in the batting cages early. And he was also in the getting work done in the trainer's room as well. So it's not like he's actually been gone this entire time. But to have him back and knowing that he's going to be playing and finally a full member of this team again, you could tell it put a little extra of pep in his step. And I think the teammates received it well, too.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, just to elaborate a little bit more on that, Shannon, because I read your tweet. And you're talking about how slowly the back of the room started to fill up with even guys like Maben that's new to the team, but just, you know, how he's received, because, you know, the question was asked earlier of, do you resent your teammate? Would you resent your teammate if he was suspended for that reason? I didn't think so, but, it also depends on the personality as well, right?
It really does. And the stuff that we heard when all of this first happened was everything's okay. The team's fine with it. He's a teammate. And you heard all of that. But as the month went by and a little bit longer went by, you heard, yeah, there were team meetings. And there were guys that expressed that they were disappointed or, you know, even, you know, angry. This guy, if you look at it, hurt their chances by getting caught, by doing something that he shouldn't have been doing, and now they were going to be without him for a significant part of the season. And it sounds like there were some guys in that clubhouse who weren't too happy about it because they did have to talk things over. So they got through that, but ultimately this is a guy that means a lot to the guys in that clubhouse. So we all know what he's done for Gene Segura Edwin Diaz, when they had the hurricane in Puerto Rico last year, Robbie didn't want him going home to Puerto Rico because it was such a mess. And he said, you know, if it's bad, when you get there, if you need to get out, you and your family can come and stay with me. That's the kind of guy that Robinson Cano is, and that's something that's felt in every corner of that clubhouse. So ultimately, you know, they back the person, they back the teammate, and they showed that coming into the room. And they've, you know, had conversations here and there with other players about it over the last couple of months. And it's a little bit of a process, I think, for some, and with others, it's, he's done his time, and now we need him back. He's a teammate. It's good to have him back. People make mistakes, and I think some still don't, you know, believe that he did make a mistake. Some are in that camp as well. But it appears everybody's on the same page right now, and that's included conversations about guys losing some playing time. So I think they're ready to move forward. It was good to see Ryan Healy in particular in the back of that room because he's probably going to lose the most playing time, but he was there showing support as well.
What do you think about him hitting second?
That was a twist. That surprised me. And I think that is a function of Mitch Haniger hitting first rather than having the traditional leadoff hitter where you have the speed guys up at the top. Now you've got guys, Mitch Haniger can go either way. He can do a little damage at the top of the lineup or, he can be the speed guy. Now you've got your hitters up front. And, I was surprised to see that. I'm sure it's something they're just going to look at. It's something that Scott wanted to get a look at and we'll see how long they stick with that. But that was the true surprise of the day.
Do you think he'll be average, above average, or excellent at first base?
I would say probably average. You look at him, and he's not going to have the stretch of, say, a Ryan Healy. He's going to be playing a lot on instincts. He doesn't have the years behind him. There's a lot that goes through first base. There's a lot that you have to know as far as cutoffs. And one of the just really interesting things that you don't even think about is, I was talking with Manny Acta, and he's worked with him a little bit over there. And it's not a matter of just being the tall guy or the left-handed guy over at first base because so much goes through there. But he talked about the pop-ups. You know, if there's a pop-up that is between you, the second baseman, and the right fielder, who gets it? Well, Robbie always got it. You did that little over-the-shoulder catch. You can't do that if you're the first baseman. You've got to give way, and you've got to get back to first base in case they need to throw to you because they don't want the pitcher doing that. Those are things that are not going to be automatic for him, and it'll be interesting to see how he makes that adjustment. For the first time in a long time, there's going to be a lot that's not automatic to him. So, you know, to be above average over there, I think that's asking for way too much. I think to be serviceable over at first base for the time being is the best that you could expect. And Scott Service is allowing for mistakes. There will be errors. He's only played 3 games over there.
Talking to Shannon Dreyer, who will be part of the pregame show tonight. Starts at 6 o'clock. Mariners first pitch tonight in Oakland at 7:07 right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Last thing for you, Shannon. We've all kind of read the quotes or heard from Felix Hernandez after the move to the bullpen. He's obviously disappointed. I guess I'm wondering, from your sense of being in the clubhouse, is he resentful about the decision to move him to the bullpen, or is he just disappointed that it's kind of come to this in this season?
I think he's disappointed that it's come to this. I think there's been a lot of frustration. He hasn't been able to be himself out on the hill this year for whatever reason. I know that there was something that was made of him saying, well, I'm a starter. It wasn't defiant that he said that. It was just reminding people, hey, this isn't a permanent move right here. His goal is to get back on the mound. But right now, he's willing to go out there and ready to help in whatever way he can. And I think there was actually a little disappointment. He wasn't able to get into that game in Houston, and that's a good sign. He wants to pitch.
That's great. Shannon, thank you very much. We appreciate you taking time on a busy afternoon there in Oakland. Really exciting day for the Mariners.
All right, guys.
That is Shannon Dreyer. We are going to be sweeping the dial, and that includes an Oakland A actually begging for people to come to the Coliseum. We'll hear that next.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore, streaming on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
A lot of it's new. I mean, just how we practice, what to expect, you know, the walkthroughs, the tempo, the pace that we want to go out with. You know, so it's all new. We're just out here trying to improve each and every day and play with good energy and just do our job.
Luke Falk. Everything's going for him in training camp. He's going to make the team, right?
I would think so. Yeah, he had a good first game, too. He threw a touchdown pass, and I saw, is it Mike Vrabel, the Titans coach, had good things to say about him. So
he didn't get a chance to go to the Patriots, but he does get a chance to go and play for a Patriot in Vrabel.
Why? What was his? Oh, is that his team?
He loved the Patriots, Bolt. Right? Jessamine couldn't even talk him out of it.
Oh. It was painful.
Poor Jess.
But Heedle, I had to admire his love for Tom Brady and his admiration. But picked at the same spot.
You had to admire and love Tom Brady? Is
no,
that what you just said?
I had to appreciate Luke Falk's admiration for him.
She said she loved him.
I think,
all right, C-Shack.
I think you are in love with him, with Tom Brady.
Nope.
Jess
nope.
And Jim, if you've talked to this kid, good kid. Luke
great.
Falk, stud.
Great kid.
I'll tell you what, I think he's a good player, man. I mean, even though he's in that system, and maybe he's the first guy to come out of the air raid system and have like a really good career because a lot haven't really seen it that much.
Yeah,
but
Graham Harrell, he hung around in the league for a couple of years. Is he coaching now? Yeah, but he never popped.
Yeah, he never really made it. So, but Luke Falk, I thought even though you know he was in that system, I thought he throws good balls. I mean, he's accurate and didn't throw a lot of interceptions. So rooting this kid on. I'm glad to hear he's a good kid in spite of his Patriot fandom.
His negligible Patriot affection.
10 for 19 against the Packers and the one touchdown pass. He had one 22-yard completion, so good start for Falk.
I just want to use this time also to just encourage people in Oakland to come out, man. All the fans and support we could get, we could really appreciate it. You know, tonight we're fighting to the very end against the Mariners, and I just wish we could get some more people out here, man. We're fun to watch, and we really want our fans to come out and support us. It'd be great.
It's just strange. As someone who, I didn't go to high school in the Bay Area, because as Marshawn Lynch informed me, Bart doesn't even go where I lived. But it wasn't always like this. It wasn't always that the Giants were the Bay Area's team. The A's had a better organization. They won more frequently. They got fans. And now you look at it, it's not, even when they're good, people don't go.
Yeah, but, you know, Danny, the thing is the stadium was good back then. They haven't changed it.
Yeah.
They have not updated anything, man.
How much of it?
It's awful.
But really, does it have that much to do with the people not coming?
Well, maybe it's something about, I don't know where it's located. It's a tough one because look at what the A's are doing, man. You should not have to be out there begging your fans to come.
Yeah.
But it's not a very cool ballpark to go to.
No, it's not. And it got worse when the Raiders came back and they kind of changed it. They had nice outfield bleachers, which were fun to sit in, which aren't there anymore. I'll tell you something. That Chapman kid is an unbelievable defensive player.
Yeah.
Like, he is unreal. He's the best defensive player in baseball. He's great. And then I found out that he was high school teammates with Nolan Arenado. Like, those are probably two of the five best defensive infielders in baseball, and they played at the same high school on the same team at one point.
I hope they were good.
I know. I hope they never lost. But then I thought about it, and I covered a team that had basically two first-round picks as pitchers that were on the same team, and they didn't even win the state title. Eastlake. They had it was a kid named Andy Sisco who was taken in the Sandridge rounds, and then Blake Hawksworth, who he was drafted in like the later rounds, but then ended up signing a year later after going to Bellevue Community College. Like, it was two legit huge prospects that made the major leagues as pitchers.
The Cleveland Browns have decided to do something nice for their fans. That is in the case that they finally score a victory. The team last won a game in 2016, and in their partnership with Bud Light, they're giving away free beer to their loyal fans.
I'll tell you what, I'm not saying that the Browns are going to the playoffs. And maybe I'm caught up in the I have a tendency to get caught up in the team that's being featured on Hard Knocks, but they're going to be a lot better. You can't have that many drafts like they've had and not get better, you know. And now that they've got different management, and this is a team that I think is going places. Again, I'll say it again: the Hard Knocks is worth watching because it's an interesting story, Cleveland. 1-31 over the last 2 years, and they showed Hugh Jackson going and jumping in the lake as he said he would if they didn't, you know, win. And so I don't know. I don't know how good the AFC North is going to be. Clayton thinks they're going to come in last, but I feel like they can beat Cincinnati.
I love watching Hard Knocks because it gives you a look inside to parts of a team that you don't usually see. But also every year there's one assistant coach that distinguishes himself one way or another. the year, who was it, when Brian Cox was on there with the cigar that looked like it was a stick of dynamite? Like, it was so big, it looked like it came out of a cartoon.
Yeah.
And he talked about that, don't trust a man that doesn't have vices. Yeah. Those are the guys that are axe murderers. Like, he was hilarious. They had the cursing assistant coach from the Rams who was just profane the way he yelled at guys.
The ex-military guy?
Yeah. And this year, it's Todd Haley. Todd Haley's a jerk.
He is a jerk.
He's a know-it-all. Like, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised that he's bounced around like he has, going from the Chiefs head coach to then the Steelers offensive coordinator people didn't like. He seems kind of unlikable.
Well, I'll tell you who's likable is Hugh Jackson, because he's very tolerant of Todd Haley. And maybe this is something that happens all the time. I think you got to have thick skin as a coach. That's the thing about, you know, I've heard from some coaches is that it's not exactly – there are coaching staffs that don't have a lot of camaraderie. You know, that where guys are always trying to get somewhere and they'll trample over somebody else. And, you know, and I experienced that a little bit in high school football with coaches that were kind of undermining and they were threatened and they were insecure and stuff like that. So it can be a tough atmosphere. It was weird to see it come out, though, on the show.
Well, right, and Hard Knocks might get even more interesting with Dez Bryant showing up on Thursday. He's going to Cleveland. He's going to...
Is he coming in for a workout?
So hopefully they would sign him. Hard Knocks would benefit from that, I would think. I don't know about the Browns. I love this story, though, because they put...
Victory coolers.
Yeah, in 10 different bars in Cleveland. They have them locked up, and then they've got a Wi-Fi connection. As soon as the Browns win, they're going to open them all. Can you imagine the rush toward those Bud Lights there in the Cleveland Browns fridge?
Maybe
I've always been pulling for the Browns. They're going to cover a lot of games this year, Dave. I don't
know
if they're going to win
smoking
a lot of
lock,
games.
Here we come.
But they're going to cover some spreads this year.
Jim, it's too bad it wasn't Coors Light, because I know you're a Coors Light drinker.
Yeah. That's right. I'm a Coors Light drinker.
The mountains get cold at 42 degrees. And if you just heard that was the kiss of death applied by one James Moore.
Why? No, the Browns, Dave's right, they're going to be a lot better. I think they're going to win 5 or 6 this year.
There you go. Bet the under, folks. Jim Moore absolutely sinking their ship before it's even set sail.
It's not very nice, Danny.
Well, it's just a fact. I mean, generally, I would like to go back to the day that Jim guaranteed that the Mariners would make the playoffs to see what's happened since then, because I'm not convinced that he's not partly or mostly responsible for that.
Yeah, and a smoking lock that they would get swept in Houston, and it was the other way around.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So guaranteed the Seahawks will never win the Super Bowl again.
This is going to be the best smoke and lock season in the history of the smoke and
lock. Yeah, it is.
I'm going to be really good. Last year, I was decent. I'm on the right track.
It's
here.
Never fun
were
when
you,
you're decent.
I hit
you were
the
like
Super
one
Bowl,
or two.
I had the Super Bowl winner and the over in the Super Bowl.
One
so.
Or two above 500 were you last year?
Yeah, I think so.
There we go.
Yeah.
The Mendoza line.
We got to start keeping track of that.
We will. We'll log it this year dutifully. It's Danny, Dave, and Moore. We're going to do two things next. We're going to tell you what the biggest surprise, who are you most excited about by the Seahawks, and give you a chance to chime in. And then we'll welcome back Robinson Cano. That's all ahead here.